Frank Turner mit Blackout auf Flux FM am Donnerstagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt Herr Turner in der Columbia-Halle. Bereits jetzt ist er bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen nochmal über das aktuelle Album Be More Kind, das mit Austin Jenkins und Joshua Block von White Denim aufgenommen worden ist in den Vereinigten Staaten. Wir finden heraus, wie es sich anfühlt, wenn amerikanische Fans beim Konzert plötzlich Donald Trump Sprechchöre einstimmen. Wir sprechen über Soul-Demos, die dann doch nicht auf der Platte gelandet sind, die Notwendigkeit der Diskussion in Zeiten wie diesen und die Kraft der Empathie und des Freundlichseins. Das ist ja quasi im Titel schon untergebracht, dass das Freundlichsein uns allen weiterhelfen könnte. Deswegen sage ich jetzt auch ganz freundlich Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Turner, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you. It's so good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you. I love being on Flux. It's great. So thanks for having me.
I mean, there's a handful of musicians that come here so regularly that it really feels like...
It feels like home.
Yeah, like a family reunion.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's wonderful to be in Berlin. It's wonderful to be with Flux. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. How are you doing today? Where are you coming from, actually?
We were in Munich the day before yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday I had a day off, in fact. So I did a very small amount of tourism and then it was very cold. So I sat in my room and I watched Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
There's got to be days like this when being on the road, right?
I spend a lot of my time reminding, like, my mum, for example, that I'm not on holiday when I'm on tour. You know, my mum sends me lists of cool tourist stuff to do, some of which is like, oh, it's only like 2 hours drive away from the place. Right? And I'm just like, that is never going to happen.
But that is sweet, though. She follows your itinerary and she knows where you are. And...
Well, she's generally trying to sort of remind me that she exists, you know. But I'll see her at Christmas, so all will be well.
Yes, and then you'll be super kind. To your mom.
Like, yes, exactly.
Even kinder than more kind.
Yes, I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet because I'm not a psychopath, but I'll get around to it soon.
So that's the definition of psychopath, when you shop Christmas gifts before November?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's official. It's in the British Medical Journal of Psychology.
I really didn't know that, but it makes total sense. As soon as you say it like that, it makes sense. Congratulations once again on Be More Kind. It's a beautiful new album, an album that does address political topics inevitably, maybe. It's a time of the year, I just wanted to say. But it's the time that we're living in.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't avoid.
One of the things for me is that, like, for a good few records, I deliberately didn't talk about politics. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I slept better at night. My blood pressure was down. You know, everything was cool. And then, like, I mean, a lot of the records started because in 2016, in the summer, we were on tour in America.
Yeah.
During the election campaign there.
With Flogging Molly, right?
With Flogging Molly, yeah. And it just, like... Everybody across the political spectrum was giving in to their worst instincts and, like, just being idiots.
Yeah.
And, like, and it was, I was just standing in the middle just being like, what is going on? And, you know, you guys are awesome, all of you. And, like, what are you doing? And then, I mean, obviously not all of them are awesome. The Trump nativist movement, not so keen on that. but, you know, it was just, I started to write songs that they're not necessarily about what we're disagreeing about.
Yeah.
They're about how we go about having arguments.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously I have opinions about what we disagree about, but I think it's really important for us to try and be better at arguing.
Yeah.
You know?
And what I love about the title is that it's kind of like a title that suggests that the private is political too, because you can read the title as a lover as well, right? And you can think about your relationship to your lover and should I be more kind with him, her as well? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Well, in fact, so the title's kind of borrowed from a poem by Clive James, who's one of my favorite writers. And in the context he was writing about it, I think he was talking, because he's terminally ill, which is very sad. I think he was looking back over his personal relationships in his life and saying, the line is, I should have been more kind.
Yeah.
And that's
what some people, when they're getting older, when they look back at their life, are like, oh.
I think it's what most people think when they get older. And, like, I think that Clive James is one of the smartest guys in the world. And if that's his conclusion at the end of his life, that's good advice for all of us now.
He's a
smart guy.
Yeah, that's true. And I really think it's a good advice in times like these when it comes to political discussions, because people tend to really push people out of their lives because some of their political opinions. And I think there's an interesting point to talk about, because there's a certain amount of intolerance that's hard to tolerate. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. And I mean, you know,
how to discuss with a real hardcore Nazi, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, then the thing about it is like, you know, there was that whole thing on Facebook about punch a Nazi thing. All of the people I know who are in favor of punching a Nazi look like people who would lose a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, you I don't want to start normalizing political violence is a really, really bad idea.
True.
Like, and just, you don't really have to be an expert historian to understand that.
That's
do you know
true,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, if you go around punching Nazis, then you have no counter argument when they punch you back.
Yeah, that's
None
true.
At all.
That's true. You go down on their level, kind of.
Exactly.
Right?
But yeah, I mean, you've already lost something of yourself. Yeah. You know, it's difficult. Of course, it's difficult. And of course, I think that we need to fight very hard in some way against some of the kind of like xenophobic nationalist tendencies that have come out in politics all across the world, you know. And I think we need to do things about this. But I think one of the things that I'm obsessed, well, interested in is like almost nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, today I'm going to do evil things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. It's just, and this is a really obvious point, but apparently people need to be reminded of it. There's more than one version of what the right thing to do
yeah,
is.
That's true.
Therefore, we need to have a conversation with it. And if somebody's version of the right thing is in fact dangerous to other people, then we need to explain that to them in ways they can understand.
And that's where empathy comes in. Empathy is part of the title of the record as well, right?
Right.
Because when you feel what the person you're discussing with feels, you get a bit closer to their opinion, maybe. Maybe you understand them more. But again, if a person that doesn't have any empathy at all, who hates people because they're from another country, they're not white enough, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
How to talk about empathy about them, with them?
You know, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm also...
Please tell me, Frank.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just, it's sort of... But also the other thing I would say, and I mean, I can't comment on German politics all that much, but like there is definitely a tendency in British and American politics to assume... Like, the number of people who are actually kind of Nazis in American politics is vanishingly small.
Sure.
It's tiny. The number of people who voted for Trump is obviously much larger.
Yeah.
You have to make a distinction between these two things. If you think everybody who voted for Trump is Richard Spencer, then first of all, you're just factually incorrect.
No, it's wrong. That's wrong.
And secondly, you're never going to persuade anybody. This is the main thing for me is that, like, if we want Trump to not get reelected, we have to find a way of talking to the people who voted to him in a civil way to get them to vote for someone else next time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with Coldplay, who once sang Everything's Not Lost. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no,
I have a good feeling, though, because I think what you just said is totally right. There's less real Nazis in the world, but more people who vote for right-wing parties, and there's a difference between those
two
things. Exactly,
and of course, there's a huge and important difference, and that's an opportunity right there in order to try and stop people doing that, you know? I don't know, but I mean, you know, the thing for me is that, like, one of the things I thought about a lot with the record is, like, so I have a lot of good friends in very political bands who will get up and be like, this next song is going to smash the system. And I think to myself, I don't think so. You know, like with all due respect, that seems like the wrong ambition for rock music to me or for a song. Whereas I think that I thought about this very carefully. I think that the trying to sort of inculcate a message of consideration and consideration of people's common humanity and compassion for our opponents, I think that is a good ambition for a song.
Totally.
That's the kind of thing that I think that, you know, I hope that people will listen to the record or leave the shows or whatever with at least something to think about in their minds. And me too, as well. You know, I could take all of this advice myself.
Sure.
God damn. Like, you know, I spend my time getting pissed off with people on Twitter when I shouldn't. And, you know, and I definitely end up in bubbles of only reading stuff I agree with on the internet and so on and so on and so on. And you know, so I hope it's clear to people that I'm not claiming that I'm brilliant at this.
Yeah.
I am the kinder. You know, I could definitely take my own advice.
Yeah, I mean, that's another great thing that one can do sometimes. Just to think back of things that you've made up in your own mind, which were like brilliant or intelligent. Just to think of them once in a while.
A big part of the record is if I think about. Sometimes people ask, you know, the question, "Do you have any regrets?" And the punk rock thing to do is go, "No,
je ne regrette rien."
Yeah, and I think that's really dumb because I think anyone who's tried to do anything with their life, who's a thinking human being, of course you're going to have some regrets at some point. Jesus Christ! But for me, the things that keep, you know, the things that make me wake up in the middle of the night going, are the moments when I wasn't wasn't considerate and kind to the people around me. That really bothers me.
Yeah, I can feel that. Let's listen to another song off the new record. It's called Brave Face. It's a new single.
It is a new single, and it's kind of a song that pulls together the two. Because the other theme of the record that we haven't talked about is, in contrast to the two previous albums I put out, I've figured out my personal life. I'm engaged to be married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's a whole new genre of songs. Love songs that aren't sad.
Oh, wow.
It's a new genre for me.
Turner's turning around.
I know, crazy. But I mean, in a way, it's kind of cool because it sort of liberated me to talk about something other than the fact that I'm sad about screwing up my love life. But it's also like, you know, the Brave Face is a song that brings together both the personal and the political for me. It's the sort of middle song of the record, if you like.
See? So we'll listen to it.
All right.
It makes total sense. Put on your brave face, honey, your brave face. This is little piece of soul demo still on the record.
Still on the record,
I've read about the fact that you were going for a soul, white soul album with the White Denim guys, and then you realized, oh no, there's still a lot of rock inside of me.
I mean, I love soul music, I love white soul music, and I sort of had this idea, and they made the Leon Bridges record that was so great.
Wow.
And so that's why that conversation began. But the reason it continued is after that, I sort of figured like I wasn't going to try and like make a stylistically predetermined record. It was just like, let's just see what happens. Yeah. But I couldn't find any musical reference point that Josh and Austin were fazed by. Do you know what I mean? I was just throwing names at them and they were like, no problem. You know, I was like, Aphex Twin. They're like, yeah, cool, no problem. And I'm like, Cannibal Corpse. They're like, yeah, that's all good. Sham 69. They're like, yeah, no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
So, they know all the tricks.
Like, yeah, we can do that. It's not a problem. So, you know, and then once that happened, I was like, yeah, these are the right guys to make this record.
I would love to listen to an album by Frank Turner that is a mixture of Sham 69 and Aphex Twin, though. But another thing that's interesting, you've discovered the arpeggiator,
and loops and all this kind of business. Yeah, it's been really fun, actually. Our friends in a band called Arkells, just in Berlin the other day.
Yeah, but friends of a house as well.
Okay,
They're one of those bands, when they come, it's like a family reunion.
Yeah, yeah,
They played
those
on
guys.
The terrace here, they played in the cellar.
They're amazing.
Yeah, good
amazing.
Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, one of the bands that's combined like a rock gesture with a little bit of irony, so it doesn't feel outdated in 2018.
Absolutely. But the other thing that the Arkells doing, because we spent a lot of time touring with them in 2016, 2017, and one of the things they do is that they make intelligent, unashamed pop music.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, which is a thing a lot of people used to do in the 80s, if you think about The Cure or Soft Cell or Human League or New Order. And at some point, pop became a dirty word and became kind of like mainstream. And I think that they're a good counterbalance to that. And that was a huge influence on the record to me. It was like there were a fair few songs on this record that are just pop songs. And I felt confident to do that because I'd watch the Arkells do it every day.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And as I just said, when I watch the Arkells and they spread their legs and they have this rock pose on stage. Yeah. There's so many bands, when they do it now, I look at them and like, oh, that picture of a male rock musician, it's a bit outdated.
It doesn't
feel like 2018 anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you put a little irony into it, like the Arkells do,
absolutely.
It's like, I can totally love those guys for that rock gesture once again. You know?
Well, so the touring we did with them, when we were in Canada, we opened for them, and when we were in America, they opened for us. So we were switching around, and what was funny was that like me and Max have a very similar approach to a live show, and we were stealing each other's moves.
Oh, cool.
And what was cool about that was it meant whoever was on first, whoever was the support got the lead because they were on first. So it was like, you know, one night after they'd been opening for us for a while, and then the bill flipped when we got to Canada and I stole a bunch of his moves for our show, and I was like, ha ha, gotcha. But he was doing the same to me, and like I think that now that we've gone apart for a little while, I mean, hopefully we'll tour together again, but like I'm sure that there's a bunch of stuff in their set right now that's come from me, and there's definitely a bunch of stuff in my set that's come from them.
I think every frontman should watch like the Queen at Wembley film.
Absolutely.
And steal a few moves from Freddie Mercury.
It's not absolutely. I agree.
And I think all the I see the tattoo.
I have a
right
big
now.
Freddie Mercury tattoo.
And I really think that like the good rock singers that I know who put on the good show on stage.
Yeah.
I really see the Freddie Mercury moves that they've stolen from that film.
But it's also just like I think that like any. this is the way it works. Like any musician in a band, if you're in a touring band, you're opening for a bigger band. If you're not taking notes from their show, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I remember the first time we toured with Dropkick Murphys, which was a long time ago now. But like, I just sat on the side of the stage, kind of with a notepad, just being like, that's interesting. I see how they've done this. You know, just stuff about like how they start the show, how they get the crowd involved, you know, what order they play songs in, all this kind of thing. You know, there is an art to being an entertainer, which is separate to the art of being a singer or being a songwriter.
Totally. And there's an art of being a well-functioning entertainer for weeks on tour, because that has to do with a lot with discipline. That's what I was realized when I toured as a camera kid with the Beatsteaks, a German band.
Pretty, oh, I know the Beatsteaks. Yeah, great. Awesome,
I've toured with them because I'm friends with them. And I looked at their discipline. I was like, okay, that's how you got to do it when you're on tour for weeks. You can't drink every night. The singer has to shut up immediately after the show and he doesn't talk at all anymore and stuff.
No, totally. Well, I mean, particularly the other thing is, as you get older, I mean, I've been touring since I was 16 years old, and I'm 36 now. This is my 20th anniversary this year.
Congratulations once again.
Thank you. But like, you know, there was definitely a point in my life where touring was like an endless bachelor party, and it was okay because I was like 23. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was okay. But nowadays, you know, I have to warm up and stretch and do like stuff on my back because I hurt my back quite badly. Just physically warm up for like an hour before we play, and then I have to warm up my voice, and then you know, you can't get wasted every day. There's all this kind of stuff you learn, but it's, I kind of like it because it's just, it's like, this is my trade, this is my craft,
sure,
this is the thing I know how to do. That's why I love touring, is because it's the only thing I'm sure I'm good at. Everything else, I don't know.
And there's a certain feeling when you're on tour, I guess, when you love touring. That's, I mean, it's hard to recreate that.
Absolutely. I think the other thing to get, I'm gonna get philosophical for a minute now. The thing I love about touring, and specifically touring as opposed to like being in the studio, is that every single day you have a new chance to state your case from scratch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you have a bad show, which happens, everybody has bad shows, the next night the slate is clean and you've got another chance to do it better. And if you have the best show of your life, the following night you either have to be that good or try and be better. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, there's something about that kind of, it's like being born again every single day, which I love.
Reminds me of the Jiro Dreams of Sushi film. Have you seen that on Netflix?
I have not.
It's a film about an old school guy who's like 80 and his father runs a sushi shop. He's like 93 or or 100 or something like that. Yeah. And the guy is still He's still in his education, you know? He's 80 years old, but his father still runs the shop, and he's the master.
Right.
And the whole film is about the fact that you can do something for your entire life, which is the same thing all over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But if you have a love for it, then you like that because you can get better every day.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, completely. Completely. Yes. So sometimes people kind of say, doesn't it get boring playing the same songs on tour or just being on tour all the time? And it's like, no, because every day is a blank slate. It's clean again. You know, and tonight, the other, because we had a day off yesterday, it feels like the last show was like a year ago to me now. Do you know what I mean? Like, and tonight we're at Columbia Halle, which is going to be awesome. It's our biggest headline show ever in Berlin tonight.
Nice.
I'm very excited about it. But it's like, the slate is clean and we've got to do the best show we've ever done in Berlin.
Cool.
And that's what we're going to do tonight.
I hope you've warmed up while talking for the little live performance that you've promised.
Of course. You know, I love talking. I love hanging out. I love being at Flux FM, but I'm a musician. Yeah. I want to play. That's the reason I do this.
Let's just listen to a live version of the title track.
That was the song I wanted to play. This song. Hold on. Let me see if we can do this in German. Diese Lieder heißt Be More Kind.
Nice.
Is that right? Diese Lieder heißt Be More Kind?
Yeah, it works.
Okay, cool.